Father, we thank you so much for who you are and that you've invested so much in each one of us. We pray that today you'd open our eyes to receive all that you would have for us today. And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good to see you all. It's been quite a week. So my family all had the flu this week, including myself. So I was sick the first part of the week. My wife's not here today because of the flu. Jason called me this morning. He has the flu. Ryan and his family, they have COVID. So we're all kind of just getting over things. But praise God, I'm here. So that's the way the Lord works. He works in our lives so that we can be here today. You know, this is a unique world in some ways. You know, in today's world, products aren't just brands, but people are. You know, every individual is their own unique brand. And through social media, it's given us the potential, each one of us, to be able to just demonstrate to the world just how special we are to the world, each one of us. We're all unique, and we can promote ourselves in this way. And strangely, this is not just a phenomenon in the United States, but it's also a phenomenon throughout the whole world. So personal branding is now taught in far-off places like Kazakhstan, Egypt, and Cambodia. Everyone's trying to assert themselves around the world that they're somebody. All around the world, job counselors are telling young people now that they need 3 or 4 words that reflect their authentic self. Who are you? You need to be able to explain to the world who you are that makes you unique. And younger generation, they're the ones that are really feeling the pressure. So 16-year-olds, according to a recent study, just feel an intense pressure to brand themselves in the world. And this isn't easy work. You think branding is easy? No, it's hard. You know, you have to create a personal brand, you always have to be on, because you have to consistently reflect what your brand is. And so this means updating your social media feeds on a regular basis. You want to make sure you have all the right material, you're in all the right places, so that the people that you want to influence and work with can see you and know who you are. So what kind of society is this, where we feel the need to constantly be promoting ourselves to the world? It seems pretty broken, doesn't it? But is it really unique in human history? Humans have always had a desire to seek greater and greater honor for themselves. And we see this in the words of Jesus today. So I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. And we're looking at verse 1 and then 7 through 14. Mostly 7 through 14. Chapter 14 of Luke. And we're looking at particularly verses 7 through 14. So this is the story of a dinner party, if you will. And Jesus had been invited to the dinner party by a ruler of the Pharisees. And part of understanding this passage is to understand the way that Roman meals worked at this time, because they were incredibly influenced by the Romans. So Roman meals were not merely occasions to eat, but they were chances to enhance one's position and honor, the way social media is today. And so invitations were carefully considered. You just didn't invite anybody, but you wanted to make sure that you invited people that would enhance or at least preserve your social status. And therefore, people of low status were intentionally excluded. Now, at the meal itself, seating arrangements were determined based on your status. And so the closer that you sat to the host, it meant that the higher your social place. And so people in these parties would be jockeying for position. So can you imagine being at somebody's party and you're jockeying to make sure you sat next to the host so that you'd be recognized? You know, and all this might seem a little strange to us maybe today, but it still goes on in different cultures in different ways. So I worked in China, as you know, and for an American company, but I actually, the president of the company was actually Chinese. And in China, the way you demonstrate your loyalty and therefore to gain honor, because you want to be, you want your bosses to see how great you are, of course, is your willingness to drink with the host. And so he had invited all of us to this gathering, the president. So this is everyone in our company. And after we had a large meal together, the drinks came out. And I'm not talking about lemonade. This was hard liquor. And you're supposed to watch the host. And every time the host gulped his down, and he always gulped it down. It wasn't sipped. You gulp it down. You are to follow. I mean, it's part of the process. You are to follow. Oh, a lot of people got very drunk then. In fact, I saw one guy got so drunk, he was totally unconscious. It was really, really bad. Well, anyway, I wasn't interested in playing that game. And so I kind of cowered in the corner with a few other people. But it would cost me later on, and it would cost all of us later on. Because the very next day, after refusing to drink with the host, we were at a restaurant. And he'd gotten two tables. So one table was like in this, I mean, it was the perfect place in the restaurant, you know, perfectly situated, everything else. And then this other table was sort of in the corner, you know, kind of like near the kitchen where nobody wanted to be. And he as we were walking into the restaurant, he decided which table we'd be sitting at. And all of us who refused to drink that night, we were all in that corner because he wanted us to know that we had lost honor in his sight. And these sort of games go on in different cultures, and they're played out in different ways. Now, I don't know where Jesus sat that particular day when he gathered together with his at the Pharisee's home, but I can tell you he didn't care. You know, his honor would not be derived from what other people thought of him. And instead of currying their favor, he decided to use this meal as a platform to share with them about the values of the kingdom of God. It was a teaching opportunity. And so making use of a parable, he urged his listeners not to seek the places of honor, but to humble themselves and to give those places of honor away. Now, strangely enough, what he's saying would not have been foreign to them. In fact, his parable sounds very close to a Proverbs, Proverb 25. And let me read you Proverbs 25, 6, and 7. It says, "Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence, and do not claim a place among this great men. It is better for him to say to you, 'Come up here,' than for him to humiliate you before the nobles." And so what Jesus is doing is he's attempting to reinforce their identity as fellow Israelites and children of God. Roman customs and attitude had been adopted by them, and they'd lost their ways. The Roman practice of self-promotion was inconsistent with the things that the prophets taught when they said, "Walk humbly with your God," and now with the kingdom that Jesus was getting ready to inaugurate. It turns out God is unimpressed with our social credentials. Imagine that. He doesn't care about our places of honor that we receive at banquets. He doesn't care about the influential people in our lives, no matter how much name dropping we do. He just doesn't care. He doesn't care about the esteem that others hold for us. He doesn't care about the number of friends that we have on Facebook. None of those things matter to him. And that's because in the kingdom of God, honor doesn't come from what others think of us. And so it's useless to try to increase that honor before other people because it's not going to matter. No, our true honor comes from elsewhere. It's not from people that we receive honor, but it's from the Lord himself. And that's why I love our Psalm 139 that we read today, because it paints this beautiful picture of a God who knows us from the very core, because he created us. Verse 13 reads of that psalm, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." So just think about this. And maybe look around the room as you're doing this. There is not one of us who is not a masterpiece to be admired. Not one of us. But every one of us is an incredible masterpiece to be admired. We're all an incredible creation of God with inherent value that's been endowed in each one of us. And no human being can take that away. No human being can take that away. And yet, something inside of us wants to lift ourselves higher. We want to lift ourselves higher than that. We use our social clout to say, do you see how special I am? Do you see it? At the dinner hosted by the Pharisee, Jesus wanted to teach his listeners an important spiritual truth. And he says in verse 11, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And the point is that if we try to raise ourselves higher than we really are, we'll eventually come down. That's exactly what happened to the first human beings, our ancestors. In the Garden of Eden, Satan said to Eve, if you will eat from the fruit, you will be like God. It was a lie. But Adam and Eve ate. And people today still believe that old lies. Oh, you don't need God. You don't need Jesus. You can be God of your own life. By eating the fruit, Adam and Eve thought that they were going to move up to a higher stage of honor, equal to God's. But rather, their deception caused them to be kicked out of the perfection of the Garden of Eden. Why does raising ourselves up lead to us being brought down? Well, when we seek honor, you know, seeking to lift ourselves up in the eyes of ourselves or in the eyes of others, we've handed over to another the power to be our judge and critic. And no one has that right. No one has that right to be our judge or critic. And when we allow it, it's idolatry. And every idol will eventually come tumbling down. But the opposite is equally true, that he who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, this is a concept that's really foreign from the way our world thinks. And even Christians don't like to really, we don't really promote this very much. But it's such a key idea. So, you know, for the world, in order to be successful, you got to push yourself up. You know, it's important to constantly be touting yourself. You don't find a lot of people asking the question, how I can be more humble. But they're asking, how can I succeed? How can I make something out of my life? So I did a search on Amazon and asking the question, how to be more humble. I wanted to see what books would come up. And this was the first book that came up. How to Stay Humble When You're Smarter Than Everybody Else. And the second one was no better. Know It All. One Man's Humble Quest to Become the Smartest Person in the World. But Jesus says just the opposite. And it's hard to hear that, you know, in a world which is constantly promoting itself. Jesus says, and we find it again in the book of James, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, many of us have, and many people will, come to a point in their lives when they've appeared to have lost everything. Their life just seems to be completely devastated. Have you been at a point like that in your life? Yeah, I've had that point in my life too. It just seems like everything is gone. Disease, injury, the loss of a job, a natural catastrophe, the death of a child, a broken marriage, a financial crisis. Any of these things could be the source, and you name it. And at that time, you know, you might feel really humbled, But that is not the way that Jesus is describing humbling yourself. These are critical times, don't get me wrong, they are. And how we respond matters, but they're not the same as what Jesus is talking about. Now, when we are in one of these crises, we can respond with anger, we can claim to be victims, we can wallow in our sorrows and turn to drugs, alcohol, or sex. We can muster up our resources and pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But none of those things are humbling ourselves. They're just futile attempts to control our situations. So to humble ourselves, to really humble ourselves, particularly in those times, because those are important times, is to allow ourselves to be broken by the events and to actively seek to hear God's voice in them. You know, oftentimes these are ways that the Lord is trying to get our attention. He's trying to speak to us in those situations. And so how we respond is going to determine a lot in terms of the trajectory for the rest of our lives. We need to be praying, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? Give me ears to hear, because I can't hear. You know, so often we're ready to move on, but we may be missing the real opportunity for change that the Lord wants to bring into our lives. Humbling ourselves means allowing him to become Lord of our lives as we confess that we've been going in the wrong direction. The way we've lived our lives, the resources, the choices that we've made, we've been going the wrong way. We've been operating in our own strength rather than trusting the Lord. And so humbling ourselves means allowing God to give us new direction and purpose. He's the one doing it rather than our own resources trying to make sense of it all. Years later, you can look back at tragedies and you can see that God's hand was really in them. If we humble ourselves, he will lift us up to new heights that we could not have imagined. Roman Catholic Bishop Robert Morneau writes, "Humility is the habitual quality whereby we live in the truth of things, the truth that we are creatures, not the creator, the truth of our life as a composite of good and evil, light and darkness, the truth in our littleness that who have been given extravagant dignity. Humility is saying the radical yes to the human condition." The crucifixion of Jesus represents the epitome of the truth of humility. So in Philippians 2, we read, "Christ Jesus, although existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God to be something to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of humanity. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And for this reason, because he humbled himself, God exalted him, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord." So the exaltation of Jesus means that all of us who humble ourselves and follow in his path, we will be exalted too. Indeed, every time we put aside our value and allow ourselves to be humbled, we walk in the steps of Jesus. Here's an important spiritual principle. The Lord is actually looking out for people who humble themselves before him. He's actively looking out to find who those people are. So in 2 Chronicles 16, King Asa was reprimanded by the Lord for trusting in a secular power for his salvation, and it led to his own demise. If he'd acted differently and humbled himself, the Lord would have rescued him. It says at the end of that chapter in Acts, it says in Chronicles, For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is completely his, that is humble toward him. To give strong support. Think about that. The Lord is out to give strong support to those who humble themselves before him. You need help in this world? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. When we humble ourselves, God can use us for his purposes. And that's because he knows that we will put his will and purpose ahead of our own. God wants to entrust us with more and more things regarding the kingdom. But he has to know that we are trustworthy. So practice by humbling yourself, not seeking what's best for you, and see how God begins to entrust you with more. As we accept Christ's invitation to join him at table in the kingdom of God, we must admit that we are there only by grace. None of us deserve it through our own merits. We are there because of the gift that Jesus has given us. And so taking the bottom place, the lowest place, is actually consistent with really what we know that we deserve. And isn't it better to sit at that place, waiting for Jesus to tap us on the shoulder and say, "What are you doing sitting there? Come and sit by me." Let's pray. Lord, we admit that all of us yearn to lift ourselves up and try to give ourselves greater value than we are, Lord. And we just thank you for taking a passage like this to reveal the true nature of things. I just want to invite you this morning, if this passage has spoken to you today, that if you see yourself trying to obtain greater value through your actions, the things that you do, through the interactions that you have, let this be a day of just coming before the Lord and humbling yourself. You know, to become a disciple of Jesus, every one of us has to humble ourselves. That's the first step, is to humble ourselves, to admit that we need a Savior. And if you've never done that this morning, I just invite you to do so. And just pray with me now. Lord Jesus, I confess that you are the Savior and Lord. And I confess that I've been going in the wrong direction. I've tried to live by my own strength. Today I want to follow you. Today I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. And as you pray that, something will change inside of you. A spiritual power is released because Satan no longer has a hold over you, but you become a child of God. Lord, may we all be your children, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.